And hand in hand with distraction is dissatisfaction. Part of the reason there are so many dissatisfied people in our world is that they're completely distracted from what they're doing by something else they think they want to do. And so this morning we live in a distracted world among distracted people with distracted minds, with distracted families, and with distracted lives. And distraction, when practiced by habit, leads to aimlessness. We don't really have a direction because we're always wanting to be somewhere than where we are. And then that leads to a feeling of uselessness. And uselessness often leads to hopelessness. And then we're powerless to do anything about it. And it just becomes a vicious cycle. And for a believer, God has said, and we're going to see specifically starting in verse 11, God has said that the guard against a distracted life is what the Lord offers to us. He calls a word-filled life. A word that is filled with God's word. So that he can focus us, so that God himself can nurture us to go in a direction that he has chosen. The only protection we have to prevent our lives from being distracted is a word-filled life. From being dissatisfied is a word-filled life. From being useless is a word-filled life. God wants me to have his focus in my life. God wants my life to be aimed at his glory. He wants my life and your life to be fulfilling his calling, filled and overflowing with his hope, and living after the power of an endless life. That's what a believer has. And that's what you and I are to be doing. And God has one solution for an aimless and hopeless and useless and powerless life in his people. He describes it 8 times in the 119th Psalm. Meditation. We need to look at a discipleship manual. Now, I love 1 Timothy. I want you to think about what this is. The Apostle Paul led a young man to faith. His name was Timothy. He nurtured that young man until he grew up and went off into living out what Paul taught him. And then Paul wrote him discipleship lessons. Now, I don't know whether you collect these, but I checked on my shelf and I have about 120 different books on discipleship in my office. I was thumbing through different ones of them this week, and I kept looking on the spines at the numbers going up. And I thought, of all of those books that are trying to take what this one book says and kind of put it into our language, let's see what this one book says. Because the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, whom he had led to Christ, was a letter of nurture. 1 Timothy is a discipleship manual, a guide for directing a life Godward. In chapter 4, we find a series of steps. And what I love is, it's not suggestions and it's not principles. Each one of these steps I'm going to show you, God commands. Very interesting. He commands through the Spirit of God breathing out through the Apostle Paul. Paul says to Timothy, you must do this. Now, the thing about my 120 discipleship books I have on my shelf, you don't know which one to do. They all have a different pattern and plan and idea and steps and, you know, and all that. But what's neat about this is it just cuts right through it. And it says, this is what you have to do. If you want to be nurtured, if you want to be a disciple, if you want to grow in Christ's likeness. So let's look closely at the words of Paul's discipleship manual for a godly young believer in 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 11. And I want you to follow along with me as we listen to these commands. Verse 11 of 1 Timothy 4, these things command. Now that's an imperative. I got my green marker out again. See, all of you in the front row see all the green. I love to mark these commands because remember Jesus said in the Great Commission, go into all the world and teach all those who come to faith to obey those things which I've commanded you. And if you ever wonder what he commanded, he puts them in the imperative mode. So here's one. These things command and teach. That's another imperative. So he says, I want you to get these things down so that you can tell others. You can command and teach them. Verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. Timothy was a young fellow, weak from a broken kind of, well, a unsaved father home with a godly mother. He cried, if you read this letter. He was weak. People didn't think well of him, and he just had a lot of problems. And so he says, and one of the things they looked on him because they said he was young. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth. But here's another imperative. But, and here's an imperative, be an example to the believers in word. And the idea and the force of this is, you repeat that idea, be an example in conduct. That's an imperative. Be an example in love. Be an example in spirit. Be an example in faith. Be an example in purity. The word example is tupas. If you have a coin in your pocket, you look at that thing, that was die cut. There was a blank and a die came and stamped against it, and the exact image on the die was cut into that blank, that coin. He says, I want you to be an exact representation that can be stamped onto someone else's life of what they should be in their conduct, in how they talk, in how their love is expressed, how their spiritual life is, their faith, their purity. And then, verse 13, here's another imperative. Give, till I come, give attention to reading. And it's the same idea. Give attention to exhortation. Give attention to doctrine. Here's another imperative, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that's in you. Boy, this is what discipleship's all about. If you're here this morning and you're born again, you have a gift that God put inside of you. Don't neglect it. You are going to answer to Him one day all alone what you did with the gift He put within you. You know, in our churches, we often are so concerned about the abuse of gifts in other places that we neglect the gifts that we have. And we should, verse 14 is a sobering, don't neglect the gift, the charismata that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Verse 15, this is our theme. Meditate on these things. It's commanded. Meditate. Have a word-filled life. Give yourself entirely to what you're finding in the Word, that your progress, others can see it, will be evident to them. And then a couple more imperatives. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you.